gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That sounds like a strange greeting at a time like this, and yet it is a true statement of faith to know that even in the face of grief and loss, we rejoice because God promises us through Christ the gift of eternal life, and love abides forever, even after our last breath. I bid you welcome in the name of Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God's Son. I bid you welcome in the name of this congregation, First Christian Church, where John and his family have worshiped for many Sundays. Thank you for coming today. Your presence here is a testimony to how John Barrett touched your life in some way with the goodness of love revealed through God. John's family has chosen two scriptures for us to hear today, two passages from the Psalms. If you would like to read along, you're welcome to do so. In the pew rack in front of you, behind the hymnals, you'll find a Bible. The first psalm I will read is from the King James Version, and the second will be from the New Revised Standard Version, which is the translation that you'll find in the pew. I invite you to hear these familiar words from a psalm of David, the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you pray with me? O Holy One, we humbly come before you this day with hearts that are torn between rejoicing and mourning. Oh God, when it is our time to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we pray that you will be beside us every step of the way as you were beside John. O gentle and great God, comfort with your peace that passes all understanding these friends and family who have gathered to give you thanks for the life, both earthly and eternal, of John Barrett. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. The second psalm you'll hear today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God is our refuge and strength. Some people, perhaps only a few, are fortunate in that their lives seem to be smooth sailing. It's when the waters of life get choppy, when you feel you might drown from fear or grief or loss or struggle, that you most need to hear the promise of this psalm. God is our refuge and strength. God is a very present help in times of trouble. John knew times of blessing and joy in his life, the love of his family, an abundance of friends, a good day's work, time enjoying the beauty of creation. But John also had an abundance of hard days, times when he needed to rely on someone whose strength was greater than his own, times like the death of his father, the loss of his daughter Lindsay. In spite of heartaches, John smiled easily and had a natural gift to make daily life brighter for those around him. When you hear a doctor say the words, "You have cancer," life stands still for a moment. You can't quite catch your breath. It doesn't seem real. It's normal for a whirlwind of emotions to threaten to overwhelm you and even drown you in the days that follow. Anger, fear, determination to fight, questioning as you try to understand, concern for your family. After all the tests confirm your diagnosis, life takes on a new focus. As you work with oncologists to tackle a course of treatments, chemo, radiation, and side effects, you learn to live one day at a time, aware of what is most precious. For a while, it's as if the world has shifted on its axis, as though the earth has changed and the strongest mountains quake in the heart of the sea. That's when you need to remember, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If even now, in this moment, you feel your heart and soul quaking, reach out for the peace of Christ. Hear the good news. God loves you. God loves you, and God is longing to be with you in this very moment and in every day to come. John was born August 5th, 1960, in the town of Jeffersonville in southern Indiana. He was the youngest of 11 children, including a brother lost in infancy. There was quite a span of ages among the siblings. In a way, it almost felt like Lillian and Grover Barrett had two families, as they had five children, followed by a gap of 5 years, and then had five more kids. John was born 2 days before his oldest sister's wedding. 5 decades later, the family had a unique celebration. They called it a 50-50 party. They had a family reunion to celebrate his 50th birthday and her 50th wedding anniversary. Memories from John's childhood include summers with his sister Dorothy on a farm in Indiana. The family moved back and forth multiple times between Indiana and Arizona while his dad followed work. John's father died when he was still a teenager. It was a hard loss. He lived for a while with his brother David in Arizona and sister-in-law Carol, and they became very close. In 1990, John moved to Casper to be near his mother and brother Rick. He got a job cooking at Benham's Restaurant. Long-timers will remember that as one of the best eateries in town. John loved to cook. He owned Cattleman's for a while, the first bar in town that went non-smoking. They offered affordable fine dining and had a popular menu. But the restaurant business is hard when you're raising a family. He managed Platte River Restaurant for a time. John went to work for Coliseum Motors and Big Wyoming for about 20 years, selling cars and doing finance. It was a good fit because he was always a people person. He found it easy to make friends. His family recalls that if you went any place in Casper with John, even just Walmart or the grocery store, you were apt to run into someone he'd know. He'd call them by name, ask detailed, caring questions about their family, and get updates on life. And then after 20 minutes or so, you could move on to resume your errands. They would ask John, "Who was that? How'd you know them?" "Oh," he'd answer, "I sold them a car 20 years ago." He cared about people and remembered nearly everyone he'd ever met. The heart of John's life was his family. His 3 children, Jeremy, Kaylee, and Dennis, and his wife, Ginger. It was John's mom who arranged for him to meet Ginger, timing an errand to subtly send him in to buy stamps where she was working. They were married May 22, 1993. The family has stories of other important introductions in John and Ginger's life, like how he met his father-in-law. Suffice it to say that Ginger's dad happened to be carrying a handgun at the time. This is Wyoming, after all. There are so many fond memories from John's life that we could share. Camping, fishing, canoeing, boating, golf, riding four-wheelers. He was happy to just jump in a canoe with his mother-in-law, Lolina, and take off down the river. He loved the Bighorn Mountains and did his best to pull every fish he could out of Pathfinder. There's a special spot on the top of Casper Mountain where the family often spent time. John would get off work, come home, and say, "Hey, let's go camping." In no time, they'd load a pile of gear from the garage, grab food at the store on the way out of town, and spend the night on the top of the mountain. John loved to be outside with friends. The best days were spent hanging out with friends in the backyard while John manned the barbecue grill. Cooking was a favorite hobby. He would find new recipes, bringing home menus. If he tasted a new dish he liked while traveling, he'd always try to make it at home and figure it out. He loved any kind of food, especially meat and potatoes, fried chicken, chicken fried steak, country comfort food, anything cooked with lots of butter. The beloved 23rd Psalm speaks of how God will prepare a table before us. Surely John is thankful for that, for he cherished preparing a table before others. John's favorite holidays included Labor Day, the 4th of July, and Memorial Day, because that was when he would cook out for a crowd. He loved to fix a big breakfast on Christmas morning, whether eggs Benedict with homemade hollandaise sauce or biscuits and gravy. No low-cal options. There are many other stories we could tell. Golfing in Sheridan one time when Ginger almost had a meltdown at the third hole, and John was so patient, he just motioned others to play through. The time Lelina needed help moving a trailer, and he team drove it with her through snowstorms straight all the way to Arizona. And the time Kaylee snuck out of school, got a speeding ticket, tried to hide it from her dad, but he weaseled the truth out of her brothers. And somehow, Dennis got in trouble more than Kaylee. He was so patient teaching his kids how to drive. He taught his nephew to drive stick shift in about 20 minutes. He was the world's best backer-upper. He could back up any trailer anywhere on the first try and park it perfectly. He enjoyed the newspaper jumble puzzle and did a crossword every day, even until he couldn't write. He liked watching John Wayne and old westerns and, to be honest, bad TV shows. There were great times traveling to Mexico for relaxing days on the beach and deep sea fishing, seeing the Indy 500 and the Detroit Car Show, Tybee Island in Georgia, trips to Alaska. There were road trips when the kids were young and they got to pick out a detour for sightseeing, including the world's largest bottle of ketchup. He saw a good portion of the country on business trips when Coliseum Motors had him speak at National Auto Dealer 20 Group events. Kaylee and Dennis remember their dad as the classic geeky dad, wearing white tube socks and khaki shorts with his shirt tucked in neatly, flipping burgers in the backyard. Every night when the family sat down for dinner, he'd have a corny dad joke of the day, and then he'd ask, "How was your day? Did you learn anything?" Jeremy's best quote about his dad is simply put, "He makes friends like most people breathe." John and Ginger moved to Florida in 2016 to enjoy warmer weather. John had beat cancer once. When it came back in 2018, they returned home to Casper to be surrounded by supportive friends. The family filled the back pew here at First Christian Church, and we began praying with and for them. John and I were blessed with numerous visits together. I'm humbled that he referred to me as a woman of God. The church gave him a hand-knit prayer shawl that he held tight as a sign of God's love and grace. The shawl went with him to every chemo treatment and hospital visit, and then was at his bedside at hospice when the end journey was near. One of the last Sundays John was able to be in worship, we read the text from Psalm 46, and it touched him profoundly that day. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, no matter what comes. God is in the midst of our lives. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. For Christians, Psalm 23 speaks clearly to us of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, as illustrated in the stained glass window in the sanctuary. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We prayed that God would restore John's physical health, that he would get to continue living for a long time with his family here on earth. God restored John's soul, even as the cancer took away his body's strength. When John found himself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he knew that Christ was beside him every step of the way. He had nothing to fear. He fought with all of his strength as long as he could, but at the same time, he did his best to prepare his family for the possibility of his final journey to heaven. He cherished every moment they had together. Through Jesus Christ, through the gift of Christian community and the grace of faith, God fills the cup of our lives with abundance until our lives overflow with love. The psalmist writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." For John, this promise is now fulfilled, and so we give thanks and rejoice. Amen and amen. I invite you to hear the classic hymn, "In the Garden," as it is performed by Johnny Cash.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known.
I'd like to share with you a tribute from John's family. The first words are written to us by Carol, his sister-in-law, who wanted to be here today and was not able to attend the service. Carol writes, "I met John at the beginning of the year 1975. David had been telling me about his little brother who wore combat boots and was really tough from getting beat up by his older brothers all the time. I had this preconceived idea in my head of some big, punky teenage kid whom I probably wouldn't like very much. I remember the day John first came over to our house. When he walked through the door, here was this lanky, super blonde kid, and it was love at first sight. John ended up living with us off and on for many years, and we became very close. He was my brother. We shared so many experiences together, both good and bad. One of my favorite crazy memories is this. David was working down in Tucson, and he needed a part or something. John and I worked at the same restaurant in Scottsdale, so when we got off work that afternoon, we decided we would make the drive to Tucson and back. It's approximately 120 miles one way. It was in the summer and very hot. We took off down the I-10 freeway, but somewhere along the way, the car broke down. Keep in mind, this was long before we had cell phones, GPS, or any of that stuff. We took off walking towards a place called Picacho Peak, which is about halfway between Phoenix and Tucson. It was so hot. And of course, we didn't have any water. It seemed like it took forever, but we made it to Picacho Peak and called David on a payphone. He came and got us. We stayed the night in Tucson. Early the next morning, John and I took a commuter flight from Tucson to Phoenix, then a taxi home from the airport. The funny thing is that we walked into work that next morning right on time, and no one ever knew of our big adventure the night before. We chuckled to ourselves all day about that. We didn't get upset about our trek down the highway in 110-degree heat. We just laughed about it. So what could have been a bad experience turned into a funny adventure because that's how things were with John. He made everything right. Another special memory was going to a Michael Martin Murphy concert, and the two of us were up front by the stage and just had the best time. It was one of the most fun evenings of my life. I still have the ticket stubs. John and I remained close as time went on. My youngest son, Patrick, was born, and Jeremy was born several months later. But due to time and life circumstances, things eventually changed in our lives. We both moved forward into different lives and unfortunately lost touch. But I never forgot him. He always had a place in my heart. Through the magic of Facebook, we reconnected several years ago and both agreed that was one of the best things that ever happened. We started back being close, just where we left off. He learned about Beth, Michael, and Patrick, and I learned about Jeremy, Kaylee, and Dennis. Even though he hadn't seen my kids in many years, he still had an interest in them. He especially was concerned about and wanted to connect with Patrick, which was so caring. That's the kind of guy John was. He not only still cared about my children, but my sister and niece, Lisa, too. John, Ginger, and Lisa cooperated on an awesome photo project while John and Ginger were living in Florida. A couple summers ago, John happened to call me when I was having another hot summer day car crisis. Is there a pattern here? I told him I couldn't talk because I was stuck with a full load of groceries in my car when it started. So here John is, like 3,000 miles away, still trying to help me with suggestions on what I should do. That's how John was. I have to mention one more thing because my oldest son, Michael, asked me to tell this. Michael has fond memories of when he was a kid, when John and Rick would hold him upside down by his ankles and tickle him unmercifully until he would say, "Uncle Remus spit on a hippopotamus. I'll never do that again, and I'm sorry." It's a very silly memory and doesn't make much sense, but it's a good one for Michael. So now I say, Godspeed, John. I know you have joined Lindsay, your mom and dad, and your siblings who have gone before you. But you will always be missed. You will always have a place in my heart. I still miss hearing you say, hey, you, over the phone. But I will never forget you, because that's the kind of guy you are. The next tribute was written for us by his mother-in-law, Lelina. She begins, I know of only one other in-law who has as many good stories to tell about her son-in-law as I do. Some are funny, but most just show how much the son-in-law is respected and loved by the mother-in-law. John Barrett is my son-in-law. I've been lucky enough to know him for 28 years. My son, husband, and I have shared many weekends at Pathfinder and Alcova fishing. We've had fun camping trips, travels, backyard barbecues, holiday meals with John and his family. We've all also worked on each other's houses and mended fence on my husband's family ranch. Often these chores were done with only John, who with his wonderful people skills could turn a chore into another good time. I took care of my dad for 14 years. When I would have a bad moment and feel so down and discouraged and have tears in my eyes, I could call John and talk to him for just a few minutes. He would shed a different light or an angle to my problem and then think of something humorous to tell me. The conversation would end with a smile on my face. Watching John develop such a loving relationship with his children was very special. All three now are hardworking, caring, special young people. The parenting team that John and Ginger formed should become the model for other parents to follow. They have raised children that make us very proud to be grandparents. John and Ginger were a team. Like all married people, they had their issues and unhappy moments. Give them a little time and they worked through the problem. They shared a deep love for each other. I don't think our daughter could have found a better partner. I pray that we can help her through this time of loss and grieving. Recently, she yelled at me that she was losing everything. I hope she knows how much her family loves her and wants to be with her and help her to get through this time of grief. She has taken on so much responsibility and worked so hard to get John to better health care and become the breadwinner and still be a caring wife. We are so proud of her. Our family has not lost an in-law. We have lost a best friend, a wonderful, beloved family member, Lelina. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, through the testimony of family stories, and through other stories yet to be shared this day by many friends, testament is given to the love that John shared throughout his life on earth. We thank you, God, that it is in love that you now receive him to eternal rest. We give thanks, Holy One, that for John all suffering has ended, all pain has ceased. We hear in the book of Revelation your promise that you will be in our midst. You are our God. And you, Holy One, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And in the day to come, there will be no more pain or suffering, no more weeping or mourning. We long for that day to come. And we give thanks that for John, it is real now. O loving Lord, we pray that at the end of our lives, you would call us home with open arms, receive us with our sins forgiven and our very being completely healed. Welcome into eternity's rest, your beloved child, a faithful servant who lived his best, a life full of love. Receive now into eternal peace, John Douglas Barrett. Amen. Following the service today, there is a reception hosted by the family at the Office Restaurant just down the way, the other side of Natrona County High School. It used to be Karen and Jim's. It's called the Office now. They've done a nice remodel. There will be refreshments, and more importantly, there'll be a time for you to visit with Ginger and John's kids, to visit with one another and reminisce about John's life. Tell your own stories, whether they're about fishing or camping, or maybe you bought a car from him and you still remember him. How often can that be said of Carl Salesman? We hope that you'll come to the reception at the Office, and we encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to be sure to sign the guest book outside the back door, so that way the family has a recollection of your presence here today. And if you have a brief memory of John that you want to share with them and you don't have a chance to tell them in person, write it down in a sentence or two in that book. I know that they will cherish those stories. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O good and gracious God, may your Spirit come upon us this day, that in the face of sorrow we go forth rejoicing, filled with the hope of eternal life. Holy One, may your face shine upon us, your countenance rest over us, and your very presence and love fill us with peace. In the name of Christ, amen.
This life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll